The reading comes from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and starting at verse 30. And the reading can be found on page 1011 of the Church Bibles. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me, by yourselves, to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Morning. For those that don't know me, my name is Paul. I'm a new face up here, and I find it very fitting that the title of this week's sermon is Giving God What We Have. Now, this is not my natural environment. By profession, I'm a critical care paramedic, and I'm more used to dealing with cardiac arrests and major trauma. So the prospect of standing in front of a church full of people and trying to bring something new or challenging from a well-known passage fills me with some apprehension. But I'm really interested to see what God does, and I'm hoping that this will be a real example of Jesus taking what I have and using it for his glory and purpose. So with that in mind, let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would take my words and use them for your glory. Help us to learn more of who you are, to recognise the challenges in our lives, and to know how you want us to respond. Help us to give what we have to you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, we've heard the passage, and I'm guessing not for the first time. And if, like me, you find it hard to discern, or difficult to discern new things, or the real message from a familiar passage, then I hope we can all find something new to take away this morning. This is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. And along with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, it's the only event recorded in all four Gospels. It must be important. But why? Before we begin to look at it, I want to ask us all two questions, and I'll give you a few seconds just to think about each of them. Number one, do you think you have anything to offer God? Number two, do you think that God wants or needs to use you? So, in order to think about these questions, I'd like us to look at three things this morning. Firstly, what does this passage tell us about Jesus? Second, what's your and my 5,000? And third, what should your and my response be? So, firstly, what does this passage tell us about Jesus? The disciples have already experienced Jesus' teachings with parables such as that of the four soils and of the mustard seed. They've also witnessed his miraculous power, be it bringing Jairus, the synagogue ruler's daughter, back to life, a skill that I could do with, or seeing him calm a storm just by rebuking it. They have first-hand experience of going out and walking the walk, and they've just returned from a mini-mission where they themselves did great things such as driving out demons and healing the sick. You could be forgiven for thinking that that's it. They're ready to graduate and do the good works that Jesus has for them. But no, Jesus still has much to teach them and show them, and that's where this event comes in. So what does Jesus do? First, Jesus takes the disciples away for some rest and some solitude. He wants to spend time with them, and he wants to rest and reflect with them. Jesus wants to encourage them and get some feedback about what they've just done. He wants to listen to them, as well as giving them a chance to recover and learn from their experiences. It also shows that Jesus knows about our human needs. Numerous times in the Gospel, we hear that Jesus valued solitude and rest, and he would often withdraw to a quiet place. Jesus placed a value and a need on solitude and prayer, which flows on from the commandment to keep a Sabbath day. Jesus became flesh. He knew tiredness. He knew thirst. And he knew hunger. It shows us that he knows about our human needs and that he could identify with them fully because he'd experienced them himself too. Secondly, as we read in verse 34, Jesus has compassion. He doesn't get angry that his plans for solitude and rest have been interrupted. Instead, he responds to the situation in front of him. If you're like me, then you struggle to show compassion to people that have just ruined your plans, especially when you just want or need a place of solitude and rest, and now that's gone. Jesus and the disciples moved on to a place of supposed seclusion without eating. Verse 31 tells us there was too much hustle and bustle going on where they were. They must have been hungry. And anyone who knows me, especially at work, will know that if I've not eaten, then I get a little bit punchy. As such, I find it even more amazing that despite his hunger, Jesus was able to act with compassion. Jesus doesn't act out of pity, looking down on these poor people who have nothing. And if you're like me, then this can be the starting place for a lot of actions. I suppose if it gets you acting to help others, then is it a bad thing? But it's not the same starting point as the compassion that Jesus wants us to show. And this is definitely something that I struggle with. It doesn't reflect the same motivation for helping as Jesus' compassion does. It starts with, I must help because I've got more than them, rather than, I love them, therefore what can I do to help? Jesus doesn't act out of some sense of guilt that this crowd has travelled to see him in a remote place. Personally, I find it hard to act compassionately when I'm faced with a crowd, or anything that dehumanises someone, like a car, or the green bibs the opposition wear at five-a-side football. Do we see the individual behind it? A crowd can dehumanise us. We become one of the multitude. An individual needs get swept aside in place of some assumed or prejudiced corporate need. Jesus sees the people as sheep, as individuals, not a flock. And we may be St. Paul's Church and the body of Christ in Camberley, but Jesus sees all of us as individuals too. Jesus sees me as Paul, the guy with his own issues, worries and needs. So Jesus acts with compassion. He sees the people as sheep without a shepherd. And to me, this shows a sense of really seeing these people as they are. They and we are all individuals, and we all have hearts in need of what he has to offer. But is this all that Jesus wants us to take from this moment? No. He moves on to the main purpose of what he is about to do, by responding to the need in front of him with teaching and action. And surprisingly, it starts with Jesus doing nothing. It's the disciples that come to him to tell him to send the people away for food because it's getting late. What is Jesus doing here? Does he not know or care about the people's needs? We know the answer to that is, of course he does. We already know that he knows about human needs and that he saw these people with compassion. He knows it's getting late and that these people need food. Yet he remains silent on the issue, so much so that the disciples have to ask him to send the people away. So what is Jesus' point? What is he trying to show us? He is teaching the disciples a faith lesson, which comes from him being quiet. And these are often the hardest lessons to learn. Jesus undoubtedly knows what the situation is. He knows what he is going to do, but he chooses to keep quiet for the time being. He wants to see how the disciples react and what they're thinking. If he had taken the initiative and said to the disciples, "It's getting late, so I'm going to feed these people in this remote place. Watch this." Then sure, the people would have been fed, but the faith lesson would not have been taught. He's teasing something out of the disciples. He wants to know where their faith is. And when they finally come to him to say, "Send the people away," Jesus responds by challenging them, saying, "You give them something to eat." Where is their faith? Is it in their Saviour and God, or is it in other things? And they respond by saying, "It would take 8 months' wages to do that." I wonder how many of us can relate to that. I know that I can. It's an earthly way of dealing with things. It's a "what do I have in control, in my control, that can solve this problem" kind of answer. It's an "if only I had the money" kind of answer. "Then I could do all of this on my own without needing God's help." Jesus knows this about them and us, and he wants to show us more. He wants us to show us the way of faith and to tease more out of us. But it's easier said than done. Have you ever faced a situation like this? Not having to feed 5,000, but by being faced by something seemingly insurmountable to you. And from my own life, I recall the end of 2015. Like the disciples, I found myself in a position that I felt God had called me to. We'll come back to that in a little bit later. I'd just qualified in critical care, and I knew that my posting was going to be Dartford. This was, as I saw it, an insurmountable task being presented to me. How could I possibly do this? We're talking about a 110-mile round trip, and 3 hours, or more depending on the M25, in a car, on top of a 12-hour shift. "Are you serious, God? Is this really what you want? Because this is impossible," was just one of the thoughts I had running around my head. And through my training year, I was constantly praying that God would do something to get me posted to the team at Chertsey. My initial response was, "God, please put me somewhere where I can cope with this and I can deal with this in my own strength." And I kept thinking, if this person gets promoted or that person leaves, then it's going to happen. And much like the disciples, it was very much an earthly response to the challenge in front of me. Time ticked on, and despite rumours and hearsay, nothing happened. I really didn't understand what the point was. This can't work, I kept thinking. I went to Dartford in the September, wondering what God was trying to do. What was he trying to show me? And why hadn't he done things my way? I thought, oh well, if you're not going to do it, then I can't see any other way. I'll just have to try my best in my own strength, persevere and suck it up. Can you imagine if the disciples had taken their 5 loaves and 2 fish and tried to feed the crowd themselves? The futility of that action sums up where I was, but I thought it would work. It didn't. The 15-plus hour days and the nature of my new position soon took their toll, and after 3 months, I had a minor breakdown and I got signed off. I called out to God, "You've given me this task with one hand, but you're taking it away with the other. You're making this impossible." Does that sound familiar to the disciple situation? I came to a point of realising that I couldn't do this. And Russ, our previous curate's words, rang in my ears. God can do things outside of what we think. And don't pigeonhole him into a specific course of action. He tried to tell me before I went to Dartford. I didn't learn. So can you guess what happened when I called out? God provided his way. A position at Chertsey opened up and I haven't looked back. Is Jesus trying to teach us a faith lesson in the situations we face? The right question to be asking is, what are you trying to show me? What can I learn? Rather than, what are you doing? Back to the passage, and it's clear that Jesus is trying to teach the disciples a faith lesson. And from this foundation, Jesus teaches a second lesson. The lesson that he wants and needs to use what we can offer, however small it may be. The disciples respond to Jesus when he asks them what they have. Are they starting to learn, I wonder? They don't say, it's not enough, or it will never go round. They just respond with what they have. And Jesus takes the disciples' offering and he uses it to do far more than imaginable. And in John's Gospel, it's a small boy that brings the 5 loaves and 2 fish, in a reminder of simple childlike faith and obedience. Jesus takes it. He performs a miracle. And does Jesus need what is offered to feed those present? No. Just as God provided for the Israelites during the Exodus from Egypt with manna from heaven, so Jesus can provide now. In fact, the act of Jesus miraculously providing food in a remote place would not have been wasted on those present. They would have seen it as a sign of the Messiah. Yet here is Jesus using what the disciples offer to point to his identity as Messiah. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish they bring, and after thanking and offering it to his Father, he gives it to those present. Jesus takes what little and seemingly insignificant offering is given and offers it to God. It is used by Jesus to perform this miracle. And this is good news. That Jesus takes what we have, what we bring him, and he uses it to accomplish good things. This is good news. Let me illustrate it like this. If you had told a shy, shaky-handed, naive, introverted young man that was oblivious to the workings of the human body and terrified of scary situations, that in 12 years' time he would be in one of the most advanced positions in his field, he would have laughed at you. If you had told him that he would experience the highs of joy in bringing new life into the world and the lows of seeing it depart in tragedy, that he would be stretched and challenged as he never thought possible but subconsciously desired, that he would be used to help people when they are most in need and see or do things that he didn't know were possible. And that through all of this, God would never stop teaching or showing him new things, even through the whys and the reallys. What do you think his response would have been? what do you think his earthly response would have been? Would it have been pessimism and denial? You've got the wrong guy. I can't possibly do this. Or self-confidence and ignorance? Well, I'll give it my best shot. Let's see how far I get on my own with my five loaves and two fishes. It wasn't either of these. Like the disciples, it was a recognition of the situation facing him and responding with faith by offering the little that he had. God took his offering and used it for his good plans. And that was me. But this is not about me. It's about the amazing God that desires the little we can faithfully offer and then uses that to teach us faith lessons and to do his good works. This passage is in all four Gospels. It is important. It is as important as Jesus' teachings. It's a working out of Jesus' good news. Not that Jesus wants to do great things with us, but that he actively wants to involve us and use what we have. This is good news. So what does this passage tell us about Jesus? It tells us that Jesus knows us. Jesus was always teaching his disciples. That Jesus is compassionate. That Jesus responds to the needs in front of him. Jesus knows what's going on even when things look impossible. That Jesus wants to teach us constructive faith lessons. And amazingly, as we get to know him and understand his teachings, we learn that he wants to use what we have. He wants to involve us to achieve his aims. This is good news. And with that in mind, what's your 5,000? What is the seemingly insurmountable situation facing you? A friend you don't know how to show God's truth to? A task at work that's beyond your reach? A neighbour who's in need that you don't know how to respond to? A family that needs raising that drives you nuts sometimes? Not speaking from experience. Here's a question. Has God ever used you before to accomplish something beyond your earthly reach? He can do it again. And even if he hasn't used you, he's used other people and he can use you too. What do you have to offer in these situations? And what about people you don't know personally? What global situation is God laying on your heart? The uncertainty of the world following recent events and the effects it's having on people? The horrific pictures we see on TV of people in need seem like too big a problem for you? Well, look at Samara Levy. She was touched by a seemingly insurmountable problem, but she offered what she had to God and has seen that offering turn into an incredible ministry. God used what she had. The big question in all of this is, what should your and my response be? In this passage, the disciples offered what they had, and Jesus used it. Jesus was teaching them through action, and he used what they offered to meet the need in front of him. And why did he need to teach them this faith lesson? Because the greater challenge Jesus had for the disciples came in the Great Commission at the end of Mark. Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. It was the disciples versus the world. Now that to me is an insurmountable challenge. But what did the disciples do? They put the faith lesson into practice and they offered what they had. They did it. They went out and preached to the world. And in the last verse of the book of Mark, it says, the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that were accomplished. Jesus needed the disciples, and he needs us too to accomplish his mission. We are called to continue their work. The disciples responded with the little they had, and God used it. And we are here today to worship that same God, learn more about him, and join in with that same mission. We are proof that the disciples did it, as are the 2 billion people around the world today who call themselves Christian. And that same power is available to us too. So let's conclude by asking again the two questions that I asked at the start. Do you think God, or do you think you have anything to offer God? Do you think God wants to use you? Of course he does. It's what we're made for. It's what following Jesus is all about. And if we allow him to use us whenever he wants, it really will be a life worth living. So where are you at? It may be that God is speaking to you this morning about a challenge that he is laying on your heart or a situation facing you. If so, ask him what he wants you to do next. Or maybe God wants to use you to encourage the rest of us right now. Perhaps God has used your little offering in the past or he's using it today and he wants you to share that with us. What is certain is that he is here. He knows you and he knows me and he wants to do things with us. So we're going to take a few minutes now to respond to God, whatever situation you find yourself in. I urge you just to take the opportunity to do business with him. And if after a few minutes you're someone who's had their offering used or is having it used by God at the moment and you'd like to share it with us all, then please just put your hand up and Liz will come to you.